This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matt Barros. We better do this quickly because I guess Barros left a power supply back in Tampa Bay. Way to go, Barros. Nicely done. In the stadium or was it in the hotel?
It's the stadium because I do the thing where I watch the game from one row and then I want to get by myself.
Oh, you're famous for that, Barros.
I'm famous for that. It's worked out well for me. It finally came back to bite me. I thought that maybe Eric Branch saw it because Branch – basically is the one who closes down the press box, him and the custodial staff every night. But I don't think he saw it. So I got to head to Best Buy tomorrow, but I've got like 40% and I think we're going to be good.
We'll bang it out. But your antisocialness, Barros, you just refuse to sit next to the rest of us to write. But you know what? We kind of like that too. You know, it's kind of like it's the way it works.
Wide shoulders. I need elbow room.
You and Marcus. Marcus just disappears when he's writing. He's like, he will not write near anybody. I kind of like it. I like being in with everybody. I don't know. Different energy. All right. 49ers, this is the Monday after their victory, their sloppy, weird, whatever victory in Tampa Bay to go 5-4. Let's just start with Kyle Shanahan. He was asked about it yesterday. He said he hadn't seen the sideline incident with Debo Samuel and Jake Moody and long snapper Tabor Pepper. We all saw it on the Fox replays. People talked about it, but Shanahan didn't. Shanahan did see it, asked about it. What did he say? What was kind of the mood of Shanahan discussing, you know, Debo Samuel and Pepper getting into it after what Moody's third missed field goal, which preceded his made field goal that won the game?
I think Shanahan really wanted to dismiss it and not even address it, but he did see that, you know, once it gets caught on TV, it just blows up. Everybody wrote about it all over social media. So he felt today, Monday, he had to address it. And his interpretation was what, you know, most of us thought, that Debo Samuel was going over to Moody to try to pump him up, not to chew him out. But Debo Samuel, not the daintiest guy in the world. So in urging Moody to lock in, Tabor Pepper thought that Debo overstepped. And so, I agree with Pepper. I mean, you don't need another player coming up and telling you how to do your job. These guys feel awful about these misses. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They were dealing with the wind. And so Pepper probably overreacted, and that's what you saw on television. But Shanahan said it's been dismissed. No one's getting fined for it. He said it's been squashed by now, and I believe him. But I do think it signals what this team is about right now, which is they're a frustrated team. They are a team with Super Bowl aspirations that is playing like a good but certainly not great or Super Bowl caliber type team. And that sort of boiled over during that incident yesterday.
And guess what? When you're that kind of team, games come down to field goals a lot. And, you know, if you're a super team, you still need your kicker, obviously, when, you know, going into huge games. But every game is going to come down to it, it feels like. And they've got Jake Moody. And let's just, like, make clear, I mean, 49ers not cutting Jake Moody. There was, you know, I am sure you, you know, knew that. I knew that. Yes, they're just not cutting a kicker one game off of the injured list and using a third round pick and that leg, and you go to into, you know, kicker, you know, merry-go-round. I just don't think they want to do that. Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to worry about the kicker. No. That's kind of the weird thing about Kyle. He does not care about special teams, has made that clear. He absolutely does not care about special teams. Just don't fuck up the game. But then once he's got his kicker, he's like, that's my kicker. Like, I'm not going to get off of that, even if he's missing.
He doesn't want to think about it. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with the, remember they reshuffled their medical staff a few years ago. Kyle Shanahan does not want that on his plate. He wants it shoved somewhere else. So what do? Well, you draft a punter in the fourth round, and you draft a kicker in the third round, and the problem should take care of itself. He's figuring out now that maybe it doesn't quite go away. It doesn't work quite as cleanly as all that.
And if Moody had missed that last one, like maybe like dead shank, I think maybe they would have had to think about, you know, like, he barely made it.
It was close.
It was like went over it, right? It was over the upright. And as long as you go over it and don't have the football doesn't go percentage outside of it, it's good. But yeah, good thing Juwan Jennings got that extra 11 yards on that play before, right? I mean, if that's a 52 yarder, which it could have been instead of a 44 yarder or a 55 yarder, that thing's wide right. And I think they would have had to think about it, just the confidence of the team. You know, just you could hear like, hey, he made it. You're only as good as your last kick. Hey, he made it. He made it. Like, what if he'd missed it? I think then they might have had to think about it. And if he goes 0-for-2 in the next game, misses a couple crucial ones, they'll have to think about it. But you're right. Shanahan does not. So once you're his kicker, you're his kicker. He just doesn't want to be fiddling around with it in the middle. That's why Robbie Gould was so good for them, right? He just didn't even have to think about it until I think the kickoffs got so problematic that they had to say, let's just get a kickoff guy who's also a good kicker. And that's what they think they have with Moody. But yeah, it was close. It will be close. Every kick now is going to be watched, as I think has been the case, I think, in Moody's entire 49er career since he started missing those kicks in the preseason. I've never been a big Moody guy. I've said, like, I see the leg. I see the talent. I think he's really iffy on pressure kicks going back to the Cleveland game last year. But they weren't going to cut him. Then they shouldn't cut him. I mean, let him get another shot at it when he's another game off of the injured list, another game removed from that, and maybe the wind. Yeah, you kind of tipped that early. You sent out a video pregame of how windy it was. You wouldn't think in Tampa would be that much of an issue, but I guess it was.
We needed Tim Kawakami there because I have to do a lot of other things early in the game, but I thought that he was missing in that direction. Mm-hmm. They were deep enough. He was attempting them from almost 60 yards, and there's plenty of leg, but they were going either left or right, and the wind was playing tricks on him. And that's the torture that a young kicker has to go through. I thought it was interesting that the other kicker was Chase McLaughlin, a guy who kicked one of the worst field goals we've ever seen against Seattle. I forget what year it was, several years ago. And you think, oh, Chase McLaughlin, get this guy out of the league. He's terrible. But that's what young kickers go through. Young kickers, usually they don't get drafted and they're batted around. They get jobs because somebody pulls a quadriceps or something like that, and they go from team to team, and then they finally catch on. But it's a mentally grueling job, and it's not for young people. It's not for guys in their early 20s. It's tough for them, and it's not until their late 20s, early 30s, do these guys really start to kind of figure it out and understand how to do it. And, I feel bad. It's a lot of pressure for somebody who's young, but, the 49ers believe in him, and we'll see.
that's one reason I've heard, like, don't draft a kicker. Just don't draft a kicker because it puts such a spotlight on you at such an early age. And we've seen all the first round guys just flame out like crazy. I guess Jankowski would be the one who didn't. Second round guy, like, they have so much heat on them. Moody's had so much pressure on him. He's been the highest drafted kicker in a while. And they're just, it just messes with your head at an early age. I think you make a good point about that. And the Robbie Goulds, once they're in their 30s, they can kick for as long as possible because they just have that mentality. I will say I saw that Shanahan kind of, you know, I don't know that he took Debo's side, but he's always going to take Debo's side if he can. That's one of his favorite guys. It's a receiver. Shanahan's an old receiver. And he's going to take the physical guy, right? He's the guy who gets the ball to Debo Samuel, who gets tackled, gets hit. He's not going to take Tabor Pepper's side, who just is a specialist that Shanahan doesn't give a shit about.
Tabor Pepper's not a team captain. Debo Samuel.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Debo Samuel has earned that. I mean, I said on Twitter that it was a horrible look for the team. It was. You don't want that to happen. When your team is playing someone else and you see them squabbling, then you go, yeah, that's great. They're tearing apart on the sideline. So it's, you can't say then when your team does it, it's a good thing. The team that we cover, it's not a great thing. But I understand that Debo Samuel has cachet in there. He's got credibility. He's a made man. For him to express frustration, I get it. I don't think he should have. Even Debo suggested that. He out of character, he said. It's an emotional game. I never, you know, dismiss that. But I just think it was a little bit much. Tabor Pepper probably was a little bit much going back. But he's frustrated too, right? He's trying to make sure Moody doesn't get down. He wants Moody to feel like, yeah, what do you think? We're not locked in? Like, I'm trying to miss? Like, that's what he's communicating. I get all of that. I don't think it was a bad look. But I'm not at all shocked that Kyle Shanahan is going to lean towards a guy who gets hit and gets first downs for him and not the guy who snaps through his legs and that Shanahan might not even be watching. Has Shanahan ever watched a kicking practice all by himself? Never, ever, never, 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 right? Never.
That's part of the problem here, yeah. I think. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It reminds me of the time, this is in the Mike Singletary days, and maybe our listeners will recall that they went through a spate of real shaky punt returning, like nobody on the team could catch a punt. And so Singletary took it upon himself to coach up the punt returners. Singletary doesn't know a thing about catching punts. So Singletary was out there for, you know, 3 weeks of practices just yelling, catch the ball now, catch the ball. And so I'm sure that's what Tabor Pepper was thinking. It's like, you know, lock in. Okay. You know, we know what the issue is. We don't need somebody coming off the sideline to, urge us to lock in. The problem was the crosswind. There was a wind blowing from left to right, and it was inconsistent. And like I said, it's something that a young kicker has to try to figure out. That was Moody's point. Is like he was missing them wide right in warmups, but then when he went to hit that first one from 49 yards. The wind had vanished, which is why that one went wide left, and then it cranked up again on the 44 that he missed, and then he barely made the second one from 44, which was the game winner.
Well, it's a win, but we got to stay on the theme. Special teams errors. Special teams is just killing them. Other than the three missed field goals, 49ers basically outgained Tampa Bay by like 198 yards and still almost lost. And that the Jake McElwain muff or Daryl Luter getting blocked into him, which I guess Luter, that was your question to Shanahan was right. Like, did you see that? And he's like saying, no, that's legal, right? I couldn't hear the question, but I assume that was the exchange.
Yes.
You can get blocked into the return guy or pushed into the return guy, and it's not illegal.
Luter is the jammer on that play, and Shanahan said that all special team gunners are coached to try to push the jammer into the returner, which is legal, which is you learn something new every day. I did not know that was legal. It seems like it should be illegal because it's unfair to the returner whose head is up. He's not watching the play, but it's legal. And so it's up to Luter to figure out where Cowing is and to avoid Cowing at all costs. And it's really interesting that it's Luter who is at the center of this, because it was Luter who was struck by the ball in the Super Bowl, which probably was the biggest play in the game. I think, and it was very akin to this. It was an easy TD for the opponent. This is the play yesterday is the play that got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back into the game. Just like the block punt in Minnesota was the play that got the Vikings back into the game early. The fake punt in Los Angeles was the play that got the Rams. This had that those two scripts down pat, and it was going to happen the same way. But this time the 49ers hung on. But again, I was asked to write predictions during the bye week. You know, what's going to happen over the next 9 weeks, and what's going to happen after the season. And one of my predictions is that Brian Schneider gets the heave ho here, and I'm looking good on that. I just can't see him holding on to his job after this. It's just one thing after another, and it's always the special teams.
It's losing them games, almost lost them that game, which they should not have even been close to losing. There were other reasons for that, but that was, yeah, I mean, you go to the Super Bowl, that was the Chiefs' first touchdown, right? Like the defense was playing incredibly. That happens. Chiefs score a touchdown. The game has changed. This is the same thing. Defense is playing extremely well. That happens. Tampa scores its first touchdown. The game has changed. This is how you screw up games. And we're seeing it over and over and over again. You know, the constant is special teams is weak. Their special teams is just weak. Moody did kick the ball into the end zone, got touchbacks. So, you know, that part of it worked because yes. They can't cover those kicks. We know how terrible they are covering those kicks. That's why they need Moody out there. I think other than, Anders Carlson and, like, people want him back. He did make his field goals, but missed extra point, I believe, right? And then his kickoffs were terrible. So, we've talked about this and talked about this. It's just special teams, but it's more than just special teams. Kyle Shanahan does not want them to fuck up the game. They're fucking up the game. All right. They did win. There are a lot of reasons why they won too.
It feels like a loss.
Yeah, I know. It was not a good win. It was not a good win. You just got to mark it down. But who do you want to talk? We want to talk about defense. We want to talk about Purdy. We want to talk the pass to McCaffrey. What highlights do you feel like talking about right now?
Well, there's a lot on offense. One is that McCaffrey played 56 snaps. Yeah. You know how many times he played 56 or more snaps last regular season? Four times.
Yeah, I was going to say more. Okay. Yeah, I thought
it wasn't very much. I mean, 56 is a huge number for any offensive player.
They had a ton of plays, right? They had a ton of plays, I would imagine, as part of that.
No, well, they had 64 plays, which is about average. But, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by this. We all saw this coming. I thought this game would be the more, okay, let's ease Christian back into it. And Shanahan and Bobby Turner can't help themselves. It worked out that way. Purdy targeted McCaffrey seven times in the passing game. He targeted Jordan Mason 12 times all season. and then they had that brilliant play in the fourth quarter, the 30 yarder where it was a broken protection and Purdy had to make a split second decision, saw that McCaffrey was out there on a linebacker, threw it up and McCaffrey saw it and made the play. I mean, that's why he's on the field for 56 plays. Cause he can make plays like that. And really no one else at that position can do that. So, he was more of a factor in the passing game than the running game, but he looked good. I don't think he's very far away from being, back to himself. I don't know. One game, one more game after this one. I'm not sure. The other interesting thing I thought was Shanahan saying after the game that Juwan Jennings is the new X. He's going to be X for the rest of the season. He's going to be Brandon Ayuk, and his debut as Ayuk went really well, I thought. I forget, 93 yards and a couple of clutch plays. Like you noted, he gains extra yardage on that last catch. That's huge. That puts the ball on the exact same spot that Moody had his most recent miss. So Moody said afterwards that, thank God it was there because I knew exactly how to kick it at that point because I had just missed one from the exact same spot. Same hash, same distance, same everything. Small things like that end up being the difference between a miss and a good kick and a win and a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jennings has to be the X because Pearsall's, you know, the third receiver, right? So he's a slot guy. He can't. He's not really an X. Bigger guys, you know, you're on the line of scrimmage, and Pearsall is pretty natural little slot receiver. It feels like he can work the middle of the field and maybe some outbreaking routes, and that combination works.
Yes,
and you know, I don't know that Juwan is, you know, he's not as good as Ayuk. Gets Ayuk's just a classic X, but. He can block, you know. You're out there blocking sometimes. You're not as inside, but it just feels like it works with Debo, you know as the Z, but you know it's not quite the same thing. But it's a good combination, I think. I think Pearsall's really fit in nicely as that guy who can play the third receiver, take Jennings' place, and you can tell Purdy doesn't mind throwing it to him in contested areas, right? You can tell. And so this works, and Cowing, you know, is behind that, and Chris Conley and all the others, Ronnie Bell, we know the names, but that threesome, I think, like, it is an interesting threesome to go into the rest of the season. I think they.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you're looking for a silver linings from this game, I think that's one of them, is that you're right. I think that that's a good trio. That's a reassuring trio to have, that it's only going to get better as the year goes on. And I think, by the way, I know that you're on the Chris Conley beat as much as anybody. He's due back this week. So big sigh of relief from everybody on that one.
The season is saved. Chris Conley's coming back.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey admitting that he's not 100%, but not seeming very far away from 100%. That wide receiver trio, Brock Purdy overcoming a really kind of rocky start. I don't know what was wrong with him at the beginning of the game. Everything was sailing high on him. He settled down and, you know, had his most prolific game of the season for sure. And that, that touchdown pass to Kittle, that's one of the bigger beauties, of the year for him. I mean, he's directing traffic. He's buying time. He threw that in the corner of the end zone where only Kittle could catch it. Great catch by Kittle. His seventh touchdown of the season. Only one player in the NFL, I just looked it up, has more touchdown catches than George Kittle. That's Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. So all of those things are positive on offense. And that brings me to my question to you, Tim Kawakami. You know, this team, we all seem to think that this team has a Super Bowl squad somewhere in it. It really hasn't emerged yet. Do you think it will emerge, or do you think this is just, you know, these types of games, you know, one step up, one step back, just the kind of faltering way the season has gone is going to continue until the end?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're going to be a great team. But you don't know if you need to be great to get through sometimes. Because, look, the Lions had a clunker for three quarters and, you know, should have lost that game, end up winning in Houston. But, you know, they would be the one NFC team I would say has a chance to be great, and they did not look great at times. So maybe you get them on a downtime. And the 49ers were a down team for the first half against at home against the Lions in NFC Championship game. You don't always know. And I thought the 49ers would have been a great team last season, easily could have won the Super Bowl. So you don't know. I just don't think this is one of the great teams. We've said this before. They've made the Super Bowl both times, and then they've been the one seed. They have not made the Super Bowl when they have not been the one seed under Shanahan. Twice is a lot. It's just this is not a one seed kind of team. I think the defense played well yesterday, not great, but you know, statistically fine. Couldn't get Baker down a couple times. That was weird. But this does not have the feel of a swaggering, dominant team. Didn't run the ball yesterday. You know, Tampa Bay, I think, is better against the run. It is. Lavonte David was incredible chasing down McCaffrey on the run. Then he got beat past him on the pass. But they didn't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball great. It was a lot of Purdy scrambles for the yards. But it does not feel like a great team. It feels like a team that is going to have to get hot and then see what happens. I mean, that teams win Super Bowls that way. The New York Giants were not a great regular season team either time they won a Super Bowl last two times with Eli Manning. You know, I think that's who the 49ers are. They don't like to be like that. They tend to be their best when they are dominant during the regular season. This is not one of those seasons. But again, they had some crappy middle of the seasons, early of the seasons, and still got the NFC Championship game under Kyle Shanahan. Did not win in those games, but I think this is going to be one of those and see what happens in the playoffs. Barros, would you agree with that?
Those Giants teams, or at least that 2012 team, 2011 team, had a dominant defensive line. Yeah. That's what got them a Super Bowl title. And the 49ers, they don't. And to the point that we've made many times in the last month or so, we thought that they were going to try to augment that defensive line more than they did. And then right after, you know, the trade deadline's on Tuesday, they don't do anything at defensive end. They add Khalil Davis, who played five snaps. And then on Wednesday, Bosa gets a hit pointer in practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, that scenario that we were pointing at, what happens if they lose Bosa? What happens if they lose Leonard Floyd? They really have nothing out there. And, Bosa played, you know, his full allotment of snaps. I could see him laboring at times, sort of favoring the hip. I don't think he had his best game by any stretch. Was loafing on one of those touchdowns. But that's my point, is that very hard to see that defense becoming dominant the way that you would want your defense to, with that cast there. I mean, it's almost as if they're going to get hot and go on a roll, it's really going to be an offense-led charge. Now, having said that, you know, they did do a good job against the Buccaneers. Not a lot of scoring, not a lot of yards. Also, not a lot of talent after the quarterback on that team. And they lost their left tackle, too, yeah, in the second quarter.
Their great left tackle, who was
a great left tackle.
Stopping Bosa, I was surprised they were rushing Bosa from that.
Exactly, side. It was sort of weird Bosa was going against him early on, and then when he left and Justin School came in, you could almost see the saliva dripping down Bosa's face because he knows all about Justin School. They're in the same draft class, and Justin School is not a great pass protector. And really, there were only a couple of instances where they made Justin School pass protect. It was either a lot of running game or a lot of quick throws, so they didn't have to really rely on Justin School. But after that drop snap in the fourth quarter, that created a third and long, and Bosa was just all over.
I would say, you know, listen, they got a chance to be a really improved defense if Dre Greenlaw is coming back. And Shanahan did say they're not opening up his practice window. I've said, like, I think December, we're looking at December for him. for his return. So it's not a surprise. Maybe in a week or two they can open the practice window and get him in active. But who knows? Like, you don't know what he's going to be. He might not be the same guy this season when he comes back. But that's their chance, because you can tell the difference when they don't have Dre Greenlaw. You just can tell. Devondre Campbell chasing somebody is not an impressive sight. And Dre Greenlaw is a missile out there. And you have to, with him and Warner, it's a different defense. But we'll see. You know, Renardo Green gets a starting call. Obviously, Traverius Ward mourning his daughter. Terrible, tragic story. But Renardo Green steps in as a rookie and look good. I guess he's banged up now week to week. But he looked good. They've got young safeties. We've talked about this. But, man, that 2024 draft class is just holding this team up. And I do think it affected some of their trade thoughts. It was like, can we give up a fourth round pick for, let's say, Azeez Ojulari? Let's just say that's what it would take. You know, that was, that's Malik Mustafa, right? I mean, I can see that going through their head saying, well, wait a minute, we have this, we need to have some efficiency in the salary cap, because we know that Brock Purdy's contract is coming up. They've got the big contracts that are going to hit hard in the incoming years. Ayuk, you know, and all these other, Trent and da 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 da. I can see them saying, you know, this draft class means like maybe we can do it again and again and again. They certainly had not done that in a few previous years. We can't give up picks that could turn into Dominic Pooney and Diamon Olador and all these others. And I think that is, you know, instead of being aggressive at the trade deadline, maybe it's made them pull back some.
If Za'Darius Smith has a big sack in the NFC Championship game, I'm going to, and it's against the 49ers, I'm going to turn to you, Tim Calcone, and say, I think it was worth a third round pick to bring Za'Darius Smith in.
Yeah, and you know what? They get comp picks for, you know, like, listen, you could factor in comp picks and all those things. But yeah, it's an interesting change for them this year. But I do think, you know, they've given up all the picks for McCaffrey. They gave up the pick for Chase Young. Like, this might have been a reset year. In a year when I think we both agree that this might have been the most significant year to get somebody. You know, it's always going to be significant, McCaffrey. But a guy like, if Chase Young was a really good player for them, that would change if they had him. It would change them. But they didn't do it. And, you know, they go in, I think you turn Gross Matos, they're really counting on him, you know, but they've counted on guys coming back from injuries in the past, and it has not worked out. Like, they sometimes, as we've said on this podcast, get a little over optimistic about these guys. They believe in these guys, and they believe the best out of them, and they believe the best possible outcome is going to happen for guys coming off an injury. And as we know, that's like 50% of the time, maybe 40% of the time, you get the best possible outcome.
It's the Jason Verrett syndrome.
Exactly. Anything else you got here? Special teams. I'm trying to, what else would I want to bring up? The Christian McCaffrey thing. I guess we're going to see him 90% of the snaps, and Jordan Mason and Isaac Arendo, you had a nice first half of the season, and we may not be watching you very much.
Nice seeing you. Yeah, for sure.
You know, assuming McCaffrey stays healthy, and you know, they're going to play him. They're going to play him in close games, right? They're going to have to be up for them to feel comfortable about playing the other guys, even though we saw them both have success in the time when McCaffrey was out. If it's a close game, Bobby Turner is not putting anybody out there but a healthy 23. It's just, and you get why. Again, like, you know, the play, the law play from Purdy, just the chance that he's going to break one at any time. He's always got that. They're going to go. It's like, you're going to play LeBron or not? No, I'm going to play LeBron, right? That's just the thought process, and it's hard to argue with that. Like, Bosa barely came out of the game yesterday, right? I mean, you do the snap counts. Would he miss like two series maybe total?
Yeah. And he's dealing with an injury. I mean, yeah, you have to play your, you know, you're right. In tight games like that, there's no way those two guys are coming out of the game. I didn't think that Debo was 100%. It seemed like he was wearing a flak jacket or something protecting his ribs. So he ought to be a little bit better for this upcoming game.
Well, like, you know, that's, I think Brady pointed out on the Ricky Pearsall touchdown, which we should point out, that was a huge play early on, dynamic play. It was Pearsall. It was Eric Saubert. It was no McCaffrey. It was unbelievable, like the group they had out there, and they break off a dynamic play. Like, this team has some depth on offense, and I think I've been thinking this for a while and then kind of went off it when Shanahan kind of knocked me back on it. But yeah, I think they're going to need to throw the ball. Like, they're going to need to throw the ball to win. I that is rarely what Kyle Shanahan thinks going into a game. It's always run the ball 30 times and we will win. But I don't know that they have that right now. And I think their talent is mostly distributed among pass catchers and Purdy's ability to deliver to them.
Yeah, it's a good sign. I mean, Pearsall playing out of the slot, I think that meshes very well with what Brock Purdy does. I think that that passing game has the potential to be something that can finally, it's like waiting for Godot here. We're just waiting for, you know, the greatness to appear. And every now, you know, that third quarter of the Cowboys game, you know, they look good in the second quarter yesterday, but it's just a flash right now. They, you know, by this time last year, they had the big win over the Cowboys. They had a huge win over the Jaguars coming out of the bye. And the Jaguars were 6-2 at that point. That they were, everybody thought that they were legit. And the 49ers just blew the doors off of them. And then, of course, they had the win over the Eagles in early December. I mean, those were three wins that made you think, okay, this team is good enough to win a Super Bowl. I haven't seen that from this year's squad at all.
You're grilling Fred Warner about that post game too. Yeah, I saw the reaction he gave you. He's like, I haven't seen it, Fred. I haven't seen it. You haven't shown me anything.
Well, I asked him if he's worried about that. And he said, I know what you're saying, but his point was, let's just stay in it. And, you know, if we're there by the end, it'll all be worth it.
If there was a game, a victory that you can ask that question, it was that one, because that was a weird, weird way to win that game against a team that they clearly outmatched. So I'm okay with you, Barrows.
That question passes muster.
Even if everyone else is looking down at you, shaking their heads. But I'm also glad we got this through with your power supply out. You're just
Let's check what I got here. I'm at 20%.
Okay, well, it's plenty. We're winding this down. Maybe I can get that guy in the Tampa Bay press box to jump on and do a little wrap up of the game too, wherever that thing is.
I think Branch is still there. He's just working the game right now.
Oh, Brancher, you're the best. All right, everybody, I think that's the show for today. We might come back to you. I don't think we'll come back to you later this week. We shall see, but we will definitely have a show after the game Sunday night. There they play the Seahawks. Pretty big game. We didn't even mention it. Pretty huge game.
The
49ers have to win every division game for sure. And if Arizona keeps winning, the 49ers have to win every game. And I am now thinking about, I might have to go to that season finale, which have been nothing games for a few years. 49ers in Glendale could be for the division title. Could be for a playoff spot. This is like one and done in the NFC. Possible. That might be, and I'm thinking it will be, pretty large game.
It's their home away from home. That's where they went during COVID.
When they drive past that, the bus, they're not ever going to stay at that hotel right by the stadium, because that's where they stayed during the COVID, ever. But they can drive by and look at it again. It'd be a very special place for them. All right, Seahawks on Sunday. And then the road to the two road games, right? Then at Green Bay, at Buffalo.
Yep.
A very, very important part of the schedule. That's why this Tampa game, they had to win this Tampa game. With these three games coming up, maybe they go play well and still go 1-2. And maybe they scratch out 2-1. 3-0 obviously would be tremendous. But they had to win the Tampa Bay game going into it. So you at least give yourself a little breathing room. And then they're hoping Arizona loses at some point. Arizona's hot, and Arizona's got a win over them. So that is not a great situation for the 49ers, unless they got to win out in the division and then win most of their other games too. Get to 11-6, maybe, you know, 10-7. Right in there, I think, is their playoff sweet spot. All right, Barrows, we will soon. I will see you later. That's the show for today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network.
Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.